Figured we'd be upset. All right, let's call the meeting to order. Roll call.
Murphy?
Here.
Buffo?
Here.
Ping?
Here.
Morris? Stuber?
Here.
Perry?
Here.
Trulock?
Here.
All right, join us in this.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We welcome you to remain standing if you choose while we pray. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity to come before the people of Tolono and to work for the people of Tolono here as their board. Father, we thank you for your wisdom as we hear their hearts and hear their words tonight and handle the decisions that need to be made at this meeting. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
You got it?
All right, we have Mike on here. Come on.
I'm the vice president of the Kinderwood Homeowner Association.
Okay.
And up until about 3 minutes before the scheduled 5:30 meeting, we all thought that there was going to be a zoning meeting for the field over on River Road and Rocket Road. And we had gathered our subdivision, you know, some people, and informed them that there was going to be a zoning meeting. It turned out it was canceled. But I still had a lot of, a fair amount of information that I had put together, my thoughts on the field. And I figured I'd go ahead and give it to you. I know that
you can give it to us, but the zoning board's what's got to bring it to us.
Okay.
So,
but if you don't mind,
go ahead.
Give you a little bit of information.
Okay.
That my opinion and some thoughts on the field, you guys can think about it. There's nothing, I guess, scheduled right now to rezone the field, but it is going to come up in the future.
It's going to keep coming up until something goes
up. And it's going to keep coming up and keep coming up. So,
I think we're out of lots in Tolono, so.
What our thought on it was to try to impress upon the board what our subdivision felt in the area and then have them at least understand our opinion would to be to zone it R1 for a single family. And I put together just a few thoughts on the field. From the size of the field, that same footprint in our Kinderwood existing subdivision holds 14 houses. And I know that the developer last time said that he could, you know, make money on 12 lots, but he wanted them, or units, but he wanted them all sisted together in a complex. And there's a lot of concerns with us to zone it anything but R1. If there were 14 houses on there, a rough estimate would be about $75,000 a year in taxes. And if it was zoned R1, we'd have a little more guarantee on what actually went into the field as far as what kind of housing or buildings were established there. If we zone it R3 or R4, there's no guarantee that a particular developer that's sitting in this room telling us he's going to build this on that lot, there's no guarantee that he's going to build it there, because once it's rezoned, then anything can be built there that falls into that zoning classification. And a builder can build a 10 unit, a 20 or 30 unit complex there. And then he can also say that I'm a seller, I build and I sell these properties. But he can also sell the entire complex to a property management group, and then they can turn around and instantly turn the entire complex into rental units. And there's nothing to say that they can't turn it into a Section 8 rental unit. If it ever did, and I know that Section 8 is brought up a lot, and that's probably a worst case scenario for that field, but if it did, if we rezoned it, they can put anything in there that they want. Any developer can build anything, and it could turn to that. And if it does, there is no tax revenue for the city. There might be a little bit, but it's very small, given that I think the city is the third person to dip their hand in there. taxes. A lot of the rental units over in that section of town and the duplexes are, they're really run down. They're in disrepair. They're not given the attention that a single family owner with some pride in his home gives his house. I think, and our board thinks, that a single family R1 zoning for that field, and if we built single family houses, or a developer was allowed to just build single family houses in that field, that it would benefit the city more. It would be the kind of development that the city of Tolono is looking for, and it would definitely fit into the area better, and it would be the kind of development that our residents in that area, not just in Kinderwood, but the people surrounding that field, are looking for. And I think that, my opinion, the bottom line is if we zone it anything but R1, we really lose control over what a developer wants to put in that field.
Okay. Have you been in touch with Wade at all? You talked to Wade?
I don't know Wade.
Okay. He kind of runs the zoning and planning board. Because that's stuff that I want the planning board to start working on, is plans of, we're going to expand eventually.
Yeah.
So I want to be able to plan it out.
There has been some interest expressed by a developer that he was willing to pay, and subject to interpretation, market value for the property and develop a single family homes. But, you know, until, I don't know if the landowner's willing, what he's willing to sell it for. I know that if it's zoned R4 and you can put 30 or 40 units in there, the property is more valuable than if you can put 14 houses in there. But and this is all stuff, and for right now, the zoning board isn't sitting in front of me, so you guys are the ones that's receiving my speech.
That's fine.
But it's all information that you guys are going to be the final decision making. Obviously, the zoning board carries a lot of influence, and it may be something that you guys, unless it's really something that you feel is out of character, you probably follow the zoning board. But these are all points that this is going to come up again, and I'll come and we'll all stand in front of the zoning board and tell them, you know, what I'm telling you now. And we may have more information then, but you guys are the people. You guys can think about it. I think that it's good points, and I think that it's, you know, what would benefit the city most. That's my opinion. It's an opinion of a lot of people in our, but it's not the opinion of the entire city. But it's how we feel that we, when we live, you know, where we live at. And I don't know as though I would be, you know, in favor of any Section 8 or, you know, mass rental. But, you know, a city grows and it happens. But to me, that field is not the area. And I think there's people willing to develop single family. I don't think that it has to sit empty unless it has an apartment complex on it. So, one other thing, our homeowners association, there's two cul-de-sacs in our on the west side of Rocket Road in our subdivision, and they have a grass circle in it. It's fairly large. It's probably maybe I'm gonna say 30 feet plus diameter, and we were wanting to plant a small tree in each one. We're probably going to get a dwarf tree somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 to 20 feet tall that would max out. I didn't know if that was something that we needed to get permission from you guys, or if that's something that we needed to have approval from you before we did that, because technically it's not our land.
But it's a subdivision's land, right, though?
I don't think
HOA?
I'm not sure that it is.
It falls within the right way.
Okay.
I think it's in the city property, am I correct?
That's the guy to talk to on the trees. Okay.
I don't have a problem with that as long as it's not going to destroy curb or street.
Okay.
That's the big concern we have between blocks and curbs.
Right, right. And we did. We followed your recommendation, yeah. And we decided that I understand that for sure.
Right.
And it's something that we don't in the future want something that's going to cause disrepair.
Right.
You know, and it was going to be a a small tree, something that's not going to really hang out past the curb and into traffic and stuff like that.
Well, something also falls under your subdivision a little bit too, is Matt and I are on Friday, we're working on, we had to get the school's buy-in on it, but some sidewalks to go to the school, because there was plans on taking East Street and running a sidewalk all the way into the school that way, years and years ago, before my time, before probably everybody's time on the board, but when they're building the school and doing all that, there was a sidewalk that's supposed to go through there. There's a federal grant that's 100% we put the money out, they give us all the money back, essentially once the project's done. And I can't really justify fixing your broken sidewalks in a brand new subdivision when we have worse sidewalks in other parts of town. But through this grant, that those sidewalks would fall right into line with that grant.
Okay.
And then we could fix those. I know there's, because we drove through on Friday, you guys drove through quite a bit with the engineer, and I drove through looking at the different sidewalks. So our hope is maybe if the school buy in with us, we just need their letters, and they need to do some survey stuff and some of the legwork, and then we can put in for it. Problem is the deadline's the middle of November, and I don't know if we can get all the paperwork done. But if we can get the paperwork done and we miss the deadline, then we can put it all in for next year.
Okay.
So that's kind of what we're looking for. We're looking, and the surveys, that if we can get the school to send them out for us, do we need one that goes along Rocket Road? Do we need, I mean, those are what the surveys are going to ask. We're going to, it goes to the parents, because the parents are the ones walking the kids to school. The parents are the ones, people that live in the subdivision know where the kids cut through.
Right.
So we can direct them with sidewalks in different places. Your HOA may have to pay for like 10, 15 feet of different sidewalks because it'll be on HOA property.
Uh-huh.
But if we do the project all at once, the trucks are there, the cement's there. You would just have to pay for, you know, it'd be cheaper if we do the project all together. So that's another project that might be coming, hopefully, if we can get everything done by November.
Well, I think that's something, you know, and we brought it up here, and we definitely discussed it in our meetings, to have a sidewalk, and not just for our subdivision, but a lot of kids, I think, walk from south of us, too. And they're, you know, especially when there's snow on the ground, there's not a lot of area to walk.
Well, that dry retention pond back over off Allison, is it right?
Uh-huh.
The kids cut through there too, which that would connect right to the school. It's like a perfect little connection right there.
We had tried to establish a sidewalk with the school from our sidewalk across just north of the dry basin to the school, and then cut Caddy corner across. And I'm not sure why they.
You got to be careful, because that's where their cross country route is. Their cross country
track.
So you got to be careful right in there.
We talked about putting a rubber section in to where they came across that. You know, and I don't know if that was the deciding factor why they killed it, or if the cost was, or.
Well, if we do one down East Street, it'll go right behind the soccer fields onto their property, so it kind of connect right behind where the new wrestling room is, and the concessions would connect right into there. And then where that dry basin's at, you can kind of wrap a sidewalk around to connect to the other one.
Yeah.
On a map, it looked great. So.
Right. Well,
but,
I would. That's something that we would definitely be in favor of, obviously, you know, to.
So that's something we're working on. There's no promises we'll get it done, because we have a tight window to get everything, and there's a lot of paperwork to done. I think, did we get the portal even fixed yet? Summer was working on, so there's a lot of, we can't even get the portal, you know, for the federal government to submit stuff and get stuff back yet, because our email is already being in use. I love computers and federal systems, and so, but that's just something else that we're working on too on the side. Yes, sir.
I just got one question. Can somebody here explain what the rezoning process would be, since one day this is going to get rezoned from ag? How does that process, just so we all understand?
Mark?
I'm the village lawyer. Blame me. The way that property can get rezoned is if someone, it doesn't necessarily have to be the owner, petitions to get some property rezoned. And that process requires notice to be sent to all the property owners within 250 feet of the boundaries of the property. And then it also requires that an ad go in a paper, least 15 days, but not more than 30 days prior to the hearing. And that same requirement applies both for hearing from planning and zoning and for the Board of Trustees. So normally, if we have something that's not particularly problematic and don't anticipate crowds of people coming in, a lot of times we'll try to have the planning and zoning meet on the same night as the board, or as the Board of Trustees, but it just depends on how many people you can get when, so we have to get that coordinated ahead of time. We like to try to get it coordinated ahead of time just so that we can stick the ad in the paper and it covers both meetings, so we save money, and the mailer covers both meetings. But technically, you can have separate notices for the separate hearings. They don't have to be at the same time, but you can know the dates ahead of time. That's what we try to do.
Does the zoning board have, obviously they have the last say, but do they take recommendations from our board here, or how does that work?
No, it's just the opposite.
Okay.
So the Planning and Zoning Commission is in charge of taking a look at this and then making a recommendation to the Board of Trustees. The Board of Trustees has the final vote, and it takes a two-thirds vote of those sitting in office to approve something. So if you don't have enough people at the board meeting, and then they can't pass anything. Now, they could continue a hearing to another night so that they have enough folks. So, but if they don't have enough votes, then it doesn't pass.
Okay, well, that's very appreciated. Well, I didn't understand the process.
No, it's not something you run into every day, and it's
sure understandable.
It'd be a little hard to get the process, but the process is intended to try to create a stable system for figuring out what the best thing to do is and get as much input from people as you can get and make it and handle it in a practical format.
Thank you.
Who can request the rezoning of a property?
Well, normally you'd have the property owner, but you could have an agent of the property owner, or you could have people from the public that want to get property rezoned, or it could even be a staff member from the village if the village is trying to do something, or it could be the Plan Commission is looking, saying, hey, we need to put in new zoning, and this is what makes sense in this area, and then it can rezone property.
Would the property owner have to be notified?
Yeah.
So he would know about it if his property was up for rezoning?
Sure.
Should anyway.
Yep.
Can, I mean, if there's a little bit of weirdness going on the field, because the property owner made the statement that he didn't know that his field was up for rezoning
right at
the last meeting.
Both owners.
And
both
I can't speak specifically about that matter, but I can answer general questions about the zoning.
Yeah. So, I mean, they should have known. They should have been notified. Normally, they would be notified that their property would be.
I mean, I can't comment on a specific case.
But in general, not this field, but in general.
If you've got the property owner who signs the petition, then no. If you didn't, then as part of the process, the property owner would get notified.
Because it would seem to me that if he would like to leave his particular property zoned one thing and it gets rezoned another, which would increase his property taxes substantially, that would be a...
Well, the whole idea is you want anybody that could be possibly affected by it to get a chance to come and have their say, and certainly want to have a property owner have their say.
All right, thank you.
Yeah. For me?
I'm not sure who it's for.
Throw it at me.
Okay.
I'm here.
When Mike Campbell was here last time and he presented potential plans for what he was building, we noticed an address on the plans that when you look up the address, it appears as though he may not be working just for himself. He may be associated with another construction company or a company that does managed maintenance or can buy entire sections of housing and then rent it out. We looked up the website and found all those to be true. I wondered if any of you knew anything else about that. Is he who he says he is, and is he doing what he's saying he's doing? Because he stood right there and said, it's just me, I'm by myself. But I would ask him, where did he get these plans that have another agency's name on them?
I think ultimately what's going to happen at any of these public hearings is you're looking at what is the appropriate use of that property in terms of the context of the village. So in theory, anybody who would be standing up there asking for the change would get the same answer at the end of the process. But as part of the process, everybody gets notified, including the property owner.
Wait.
Your question is, do we know anything about that particular person?
Uh-huh.
I don't, but the point of the process is, what's the best use for the property? That's where the eye on the ball needs to be, and that's why it's really important for the board to hear from all the property owners that are right around the area. Because what's happening is you're saying, we've got an existing use of land, and we're gonna change that use. Well, if we change the use in a manner that's gonna have a positive impact on the rest of the community, you're gonna hear a lot of happy thoughts. And if you aren't changing it in a way that the rest of the area wants, well, you need to know that, because that's gonna affect your decision.
And those are things when he brought to us too.
I'm sorry?
And those are things when he brought to us and brought to the planning board, because we can't catch everything.
Mm-hmm.
And if you guys see stuff like that, bring that to the planning board and talk to us about it. Or talk to them about it.
What's Wade's last name?
The Wheat.
Yeah,
T-H-W-E-A-T-T.
Is there a good way to get in touch with him, or how do we do that?
If you can have one of those.
Okay. How about this? Check our website in a couple days, and he'll have an email. Because
okay.
We have our IT guy that's going to make one for him.
He has a
Gmail. Won't we make him a Village, though, account?
Yeah.
That way it just makes it cleaner for him.
It'll be firstname.lastname@tolonoio.us.
But don't send any emails for a couple days. Let him get it created first.
I'll create it tonight.
You.
That's what we're trying to do with everybody, is get Tolono email addresses, and that way it's all clean that way, instead of using Gmail, and that way board members leave or this or that stuff is still there. You don't lose all that knowledge and everything. All right, anything else? Anybody else? All right.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys' time. Thank you.
Oh, no
thank
problem.
You.
And yeah, there is another position, Mike, on the zoning board, I think.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we might as well start with Wood Ave Engineers, and I kind of already, that was what Matt and I were working on. I didn't have a chance to talk to you guys about, was the sidewalk grant.
Is that the one I sent you guys? Because I haven't got much more on that one yet.
No. It was, well, I don't know. I don't know what you sent me, to tell you the truth. And I don't have my copy of it here. I'll send out the grant information, or I'll give it to Brandy and she can scan it and send it out. On what we were kind of looking at. And we're just needing ideas. I dropped off a copy at the school for them to look at.
That's kind of our routing that we had kind of rough out. X's are for the handicap ramps.
Mm-hmm.
The solid lines are for sidewalk replacement or new walks. And that gets everybody from the west side of town to the east side, and from the south side of town to the north, to try and funnel everybody towards the junior senior high school. So
what do we figure out? 4,000 square feet or linear feet of sidewalk is about $200,000.
Yeah, it was like 4,500 feet.
Yeah.
So
sidewalk's expensive.
I did talk to Tracy today. the school can apply for this as well.
Okay.
So we do not have to go onto their property. This is all being our walk.
So that gives us more footage to use in our area.
Correct.
We were thinking that we would have to build the school's plans too.
And I think we're gonna have to work with the school anyhow, to kind of.
Well, they're gonna have to send out all of the surveys and stuff.
Right.
Are the same surveys you're gonna have to send out for ours, so we just will not have to duplicate.
So it's kind of sharing the same information anyhow. So if we kind of work together, it'll probably benefit both of us on this, so.
And the grant's due by the middle of November?
November 19th, I believe.
So November 19th, and then we won't hear about it for, I can't remember when the. The spring, and then we have a year after the grant is awarded to build it, or something like that. Something, that's just roughly what the plans are.
No, I got it, I got it.
Of course, I left all my stuff somewhere.
On your scooter?
Probably.
Cool scooter.
And that was just, Tracy and I spent probably a couple hours driving around. So, I mean, none of this is set in stone. This is just kind of our rough idea to try the easiest routes to get kids to school. So, and some of these areas.
Is it the safe routes to school grant as well?
That's what I just sent you. It's IDOT Safe Roads to School. That's a state one.
I can't remember what this one's called.
But if you said it's a federal one, it's not gonna be the same.
No, it's the same.
Is it the same one? Okay, it's the one that Chapin Rhodes was trying to, talked about the last meeting we had with him. So it's probably, we're talking all about the same thing.
Okay.
But I have a whole thick document of information.
Well, I'll quit bugging him about it, because I've called a couple times.
Well, he already suggested it when we were talking about the stoplight. We had the stoplight meetings in Savoy.
And again, we had the railroad saying that they're willing to spend some money on some upgrades as well. So
exactly.
That might be a spot to get kids across at Walnut Street.
And
you
since
know, add a sidewalk, add some signals there. Also add some lights up by Casey's to get pedestrian crosswalk there.
The flashy lights.
You know, that would help hopefully slow people down, get some kids across there a little bit safer. So. We've got a pretty good crosswalk at Holden Street right now. It's just Walnut Street we don't. I mean, there's not even a sidewalk along the edge of the pavement. So.
Well, all we can do is pursue it.
Yeah, I mean, all I can do is say no.
Yeah. And again, it's not that if we don't have it done this year, we can't do it next year.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, if we don't get it done this year, next year. So.
And we'll have all the paperwork done.
Right.
So.
But we don't want to rush through it and leave a pertinent piece of information out where they just pitch our application out. So.
All right. What else?
Sidewalk replacement quotes. I think I had two in the board packet from last time.
And we may, right?
Some of it, yes. Some of it probably won't be in this program anyhow, so we could go ahead and still do some of these areas. I don't think they would fall in that Safe Routes to School program. I had another one that came in late this afternoon, so I didn't get a chance to print that out. But I had the same company that did our sidewalk work last year, and I just kind of did this as a square foot price. That way, I can take out and put in things that I needed to instead of, I had a whole list, but some of that list falls, like I said, falls within that other sheet. So, so I had a quote from Wick Concrete for $7.50 per square foot. And Cross Construction at $16.99 per square foot.
What was the Wick one again?
$7.50.
And this one's $16.99?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Was Wick Concrete only, no labor?
What's that?
Was Wick Concrete only with no labor?
No. That was everything. I mean, they look back on what they did the work for last year, pretty much the same price as last year. Everything we did last year, I thought turned out pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
So. I think I had around $13,000 in my budget for sidewalk replacement. If we did the entire list that I had, Wick Concrete came back around $20,000-ish. So this is.
And then Cross came back at $52,000.
Right.
That's a huge difference.
Huge difference. And again, I kind of like the square foot price because that way I can move things around how it works out best for us. Thoughts?
Yes, thoughts, guys.
I think we want to do $7.50 a square foot. If we have
exactly,
right.
That would be the
with these folks, and then see if we budgeted $13,000, we might have to prioritize
right
some of the list and not go past
and,
that.
And again, we've got we take out everything that we had that would come close to that. Rework my list, but like over here in front of the water storage tank. There's not been sidewalks in years. So, I mean, that's a big area. That was like 75 feet.
Do you have a copy of the Wick Concrete?
It was just a letter. Yeah. And I do something, yes.
What?
It was just an email.
Okay.
How? What we can do is, he's got, you think it's 13,000 budget?
Now, he's only got 580 linear feet of sidewalk. Right?
It's still, like I said, the only thing I'm comparing is the square footage pricing of this.
Okay, but are they?
Yes, that's probably lineal footage.
Yeah, he's got 580 linear feet of sidewalk that
times
we need.
Four.
How many do we? How many linear feet do we need?
Because what Cross did, they broke it down per square foot
right
price. So.
What you thinking about, Terrence?
Nothing.
Oh.
Okay.
I thought we were waiting. I thought you had something going on over there.
So we could do two votes. We can vote to let him spend his budget of $13,000.
Okay, except it's not on the agenda.
Oh, it's not on the agenda. Never mind. We can't vote on anything because it's not on the agenda. How about
we have
you
asphalt
have a
crack
list,
ceiling on the agenda.
You have
agenda.
A list of the sidewalks you want to look at and to fix, right? Can you send that list out to the board members?
Right here.
I guess I have to look at page 2.
Or page 3.
Or page 3. I just looked at the price, and I was stuck at the price.
But like I said, some of those areas are areas that fall within that, and I think I have another sheet that I've kind of marked those areas a lot. So
I'm going to put this on the next board meeting.
Yeah, we have the next board meeting, and then the exact list.
Yeah.
That's it.
Perfect. And that'll work.
And I should have a better idea on pricing that way.
Yeah, and so, it gets us close, yeah.
One of the areas we had on there was down here at the corner of Borsey and Main to replace some curb and some sidewalk. I think we need to really look a little harder at that area because it's not ADA accessible. And it's going to take some work to get it ADA accessible.
Where it's stepped up.
Yes,
okay.
To run down on the course.
Okay.
If we do that, we're going to have to cut that back further to the east to get that the right slope through there.
Let's also look at the village hall, too. We need to fix that. Coming into our front door to pay bills.
That's something I could put on for next year's budget.
Yeah, because we need to get that fixed pretty soon. So we had somebody else fall in the village.
It may just be cheaper to add a wood deck on there.
Maybe. Or temporary fix until we can get something else. All right. Anything else?
The crack ceiling. I've been waiting on quotes. That's kind of a bad thing here lately.
Oops,
so.
Sorry.
I got 3 quotes. One from A1 Pavement Maintenance, and it was 66 cents per lineal foot. And I had that broke. They had it around 20,000 feet estimated, so that's around 13,000, just over. They had also added in about 200 lineal feet of concrete crack ceiling at $841. I got a price from County Asphalt, and they were $1 per lineal foot, so they had about 28,000 lineal feet, so for about $28,000. And then I had this quote for Cross Construction is $1.23 per lineal foot, 11,500 feet, $14,145. I spoke with A1 Pavement Maintenance. I've had their quote since April, and just to verify that their price is still good, and they said it was, but they're not sure that they can get to it this year. So either we can approve it, do it next spring when they have availability, or we go with the next 34 cents a foot higher.
Is this all just the Deer Path area?
For now, yes. And that leaves out one area from Route 45 to Whitehead on Walnut. I don't know that it's worth crashing.
I was driving over that today. It's almost time to just repave that.
Right.
Yeah, that was the original course.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's all the construction traffic get that. So I think that would be something we would not do any more with right now, plan for the future on that, and do something else. There's no crown left of that road. It, and I kind of talked this over with cross construction, just mill out from the curb line a ways and repave it, put a crown back in it, get the water to roll where it needs to roll, and call it good, so.
I know it was discussed micro surfacing some of that area.
We have to crack seal it first.
Yeah, as
that as would be
that's still on the talking for, I mean, next year.
That, and I had a price.
Because I'd almost rather they wait till the spring and then do the crack sealing if they're going
to. Well, I had a seal coating price for that area, and it was $50,000. So it was kind of breaking down into manageable bites. They kind of go that way, so.
Last time we did it, it was about a third the price of laying new asphalt.
Yeah. And pretty much everybody that went and looked at it didn't think the pavement was too bad. So as long as we get to it soon, don't let it deteriorate, then yeah, we'll save ourselves a lot of money in the long run. So I talked across about, they did a, it was called a slurry seal out on Monticello Road, right there by the airport.
Oh, that's, I thought that was.
And they, it's a real thin oil,
mm-hmm.
and when they do that, they don't do that, they hire that done, so. I'm not sure if A1 or county.
There's very few people that can do that. I think we could have to look back when we did it last time. But that was one of two that did it around here at that time.
Okay.
That could have changed, but.
Right.
I thought it's been fairly effective, so that's been 4 or 5 years now.
Yeah. The one thing I've seen over in Lynchor Fields, some of that small aggregate was rolled off into gutters. So that might be something to look at on the guttered areas over mm-hmm. the non-guttered areas. Either we'll have to clean that up or just not put that in those areas and use more of a seal coat. So.
Have you seen any of those areas? It's mostly at the curbs or between the road.
Yes.
And it's almost a 3 or 4 inch gap now.
That, and they're humped.
Mm-hmm. The roads are humped. Yeah.
So all the water sits on that. Yeah.
That gap just keeps getting bigger.
I think it's how the heavy traffic is rolling through there and it's pulling that.
Yeah. I was afraid kids getting bike wheels stuck in there
right.
or heels or
right.
anything.
Do you know what you have left in your streets and alleys?
I don't. Brandy sent me the information. I haven't had a chance to look through that stuff yet, so.
That'd be something to think of. If we have, we can at least get the crack sealing paid for this year.
Right. We have that budget.
Yeah.
So I think we put $20,000 in there for that, so.
Because I don't want those roads to get to the point where we have to replace them, because
right.
that would be
right.
insanely
and again,
expensive.
We need to do Kinderwood as well. There's cracks up there. If we get those taken care of, then the game will be kind of ahead of the game. So
yeah, you said you have, what, 20,000 in there?
I believe so.
How much do you think they could do of Kinderwood, of the leftover? Because this was, what, 14?
Yeah.
So another $6,000. If they're here in town,
right?
Could they
possibly
get some of that done too?
I would think so. It's
just use the budgeted amount we have for it.
It's a smaller area. I would think so. Yeah.
And then we can just knock that out.
I think they actually have less cracks too.
Yeah, and hopefully we can get on top of them quicker.
Right.
Than Deerpath. And then maybe next year look at maybe do the micro surface.
Yeah.
Okay, any other questions?
And again, they're supposed to get back to me tomorrow.
Okay.
From A1, which was the low bid, to let me know if they would even be available to do that this year or not.
Okay.
So, and again.
A1 was not the low bid. A1 was not the low bid. They were the highest bid. For crack saline?
You gotta look at the.
You're just talking about at the top, the asphalt.
Yeah, without.
Okay, then yes, they were the low.
Without the seal.
Without, or the concrete?
Well, nobody else bid concrete.
Okay.
So. And that might be in those areas along the.
Could be.
Between the curb and the sidewalk, so. So for $841, I think that would be a cheap fix, but I can verify that as well, so.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's so good, I see.
And we.
And we wanna do this, it is more time sensitive because eventually the oils, it depends on weather mostly, so.
This is, it's, I think she said, anything below 60 degrees, they can't put that down.
Yeah, and then where they get it from, quits selling it too, so at a certain point.
Yeah.
So it's in our budget for $20,000. My suggestion is not to spend over $20,000. Just do as much as we can.
Yeah.
Go with the lowest bidder, which would be A1, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And if A1 can't do it this year, do you want a?
Keep the right ones.
What would be next, Cross?
County asphalt.
They're more. They're 28. Cross is 14.
Well, you got to look at lineal foot pricing.
We should have a separate bid to break that out because they gave us one price of $28,000.
For $28,000 lineal feet.
And this is for $11,000.
It was a dollar. Yeah, this was a dollar. Gotcha. But I wrote 28.
Right.
So do you, but that's
yes.
More than 14,000.
Approximate yeah. Quantity is 28,592 linear feet. Cost $28,592.
Feet, 66 cents.
I saw that. I was trying to figure that out too.
Interesting.
County. 28,000.
I say we make a motion to. Thinking how to word it.
You're about to give it to you.
Okay.
Mark's earning his money tonight.
Yeah.
No. I was unclear as to which contractor you were going to use all that, so put in blanks.
We want to wait until I find out from A1 if they can do that this year.
What's the difference, a dollar to compared to what?
66 cents. That, or we can hold off until next meeting.
We'll see if A1 can do it. Let's go ahead and prove it, see if A1 can do it. And if they can't do it.
And again, like I said, they could do that in the spring.
Well, you have your budgeted amount too, and tell them that you're looking at.
Keeping in mind that budgeted amount expires in April.
Well,
and
it
we may not have
April,
60
right?
degrees
exactly.
In April. And we may not have 60 degrees in October. And
when
the
other thing
schedule.
In the winter is when those cracks get hit
right
yeah, hardest.
That's what I'm worried about. I want to get it done before winter.
Make a motion to authorize village superintendent
to engage
to engage A1 pavement maintenance through their bid as represented to perform asphalt sealing not to exceed $20,000, contingent upon their ability to complete the work fall of 2018.
Second.
Huffo.
Abstain.
Perry.
Yes.
Hing.
Yes.
Stuber.
Yes.
Truelock.
Yes.
All right.
You want that?
Your trees.
I'm still waiting.
Okay, still waiting.
Okay.
Now, did you get a hold of the power company? What did they?
I have.
You picked out the biggest, tallest trees for them, right?
Tell you what. I didn't make a huge amount of copies of those either. These are the trees that I had on my list anyhow, and there are, I think, four trees on the 2018 list that they won't take out. So that means I can add some other ones to my list or get my quote on. So 2019, those were trees I kind of prioritized that weren't as in bad shape.
Are these Ameren's notes or your
yes.
notes? Okay.
Yes. So anything that's highlighted, they won't.
They decline.
Yes. So, well, I mean, this is going to save us thousands of dollars. And that was that right tree, right place program, I think, that they have. Yeah, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
So I will continue to use this program annually. They'll take about 20 trees per year that fall within the power line. So
mm-hmm.
And this is something I just learned about a couple weeks ago. So, and they've already taken, I think, four trees down over by Daggy.
Yeah, they were working there a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And I don't know if anybody has driven down to see the construction on the water main on Austin, but that has started. They've got pipe in the ground. All that pipe that he's putting in is he's directionally drilling in. So there's very little disruption to the homeowners, anything in our right of way. So it's looking good. He had a machine breakdown yesterday, or else he'd have probably all the pipe in along Austin yesterday. So I'm pushing to get that house on Austin water as soon as I can, so we don't have to set up a temporary service for them. So we may add a couple more valves in there so we can isolate that one block, but we've got valves at the shop, so it should be minimal cost to do that. So it's going really smooth so far though. So the other thing I was going to say, I'll probably get a couple, a few bids on some garage doors for the shop. Those doors and garage door openers are somewhat the shot. So get that done before winter. Get that thing sealed up a little tighter. Or try to save a little bit more money there. But that will be an upcoming. I think I did have approval or a budget item in on that as well. So,
any questions for Matt? I think the police department report was in there. Anything else, correspondent?
No, I don't
There you go.
All right, any questions on the police department report? Rick's not here. Any questions on the bills? This is the one from last week.
I make a motion to pay the bills as presented.
Second.
Bevo?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
Ping?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
Trulock?
Yes.
I didn't see any sewer credits. Were there any sewer credits? Okay. Okay, regular session minute notes.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes from the September 4th, 2018 regular session.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Perfect. Executive session minutes from August 21st on the blue sheet of paper in front of you.
Motion to approve executive session minutes from August 21st.
I'll second.
That's all in favor.
Bevo?
Abstain.
Perry?
Yes.
Ping?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
Trulock?
Yes.
River Road and Central, we don't need that, right? So the variance for River Road and Central, we're not doing. We found another route to go through and it, instead of having to get a variance. It's moving cool. Around. TIF, application for Mike Campbell. I'd like to bring that up for a vote. Someone can make a motion to vote on that. We kind of tabled it, just declared off her.
Well, we tabled it because Gwen was going to. We wanted Gwen to come.
Okay, well, we can wait if you want to.
I
think we need to. That's pretty well.
That's.
No.
That's
right.
What I would like
right.
To vote for.
So I'm
a
making
vote.
A motion to deny the application by Mike Campbell for 111 North Long Street.
Okay, a second.
Second.
Okay, roll call. Or do we need roll call for that? Oh, all in favor? Anybody against? Alright, so.
Just if anybody lives in a TIF property, just make sure you abstain, otherwise, eyes and ears.
I don't think we have any TIF anymore, because you'd be the only one in it, and I think we voted you out.
Yep. I think we're okay, but I don't bring it up.
Alright. Ordinance related to special event permits.
So, I want to email you this ordinance, but I'm not going to do it today. I want to clarify exactly what it is we're doing. If I have a special event request that doesn't involve alcohol, then that's something that would not go before the board and would get approved by the village board president. Was what I was remembering the discussion was before.
Or his designee.
Or his designee.
Yeah. Something else, and this is just for open discussion. We were thinking about this back and forth because this came up last week. If it does involve alcohol and they don't have time to get the permit in before the board meeting, which is what happened last week, is there a way, I was thinking of a way to do that, like village board president and one trustee sign off on it, and then it can be brought up for the general board meeting afterwards. Because all they'd be violating would be, we'd be giving them permission to serve alcohol in their parking lot, essentially, and we'd be able to give them permission to violate the noise ordinance to a certain time period.
Now here's a question
so,
I have about that.
Go ahead.
Do our alcohol ordinances require that alcohol must be served only inside their building? or.
Well, it says on the premises.
In their parking lot.
And that's interpreted to mean in the building itself. If you want to let them have a beer garden, we can do that by right in the ordinance.
Which we have that in ordinance.
And the only thing I've normally seen, and you don't have to do this, is that you require some sort of fencing around that beer garden area, just to limit people walking off or minors walking in. But you aren't required to do that. But that's a pretty common thing for
right.
a municipality.
Well, and in a special event, we always give like loose cover, they can do their parking lot party and fence it off.
Right.
And Denny's, they do their parking lot party and fence it off.
Right.
It'll do.
They fence off.
They're already fenced off. Most,
and the extra right. stuff they usually fence off too, so.
Yeah.
So my question about that is, if the parking lot is their property also,
mm-hmm.
at what point do we require a special use permit for something they want to do on their own property as opposed to something they want to do on the village's public property? Yeah.
You get to decide that however you want to regulate your community. Right
we'd
now,
make it,
yeah, right
give
now,
more freedom.
They don't have, in my opinion, they don't have that by right now.
And
you can make it by right if you wanted to.
I like the idea of doing the permits for it because it helps us control. We don't have a loud party every night. And it helps the public know when there is going to be one.
Right.
And there's it gives us a little bit more control on it because I really don't want to turn us into all three bars having parking lot parties every night of the week and then nobody gets any sleep. So that's my only concern.
Well, and I'm not yeah. opposed to having the permit, but at what point can we just say that those permits can just
oh, okay.
go
so
to the office
point.
As
sure.
opposed to having to come before the board.
I
can give you some ideas and then you can just pick and okay. choose what you think works for you kind of thing.
Because if they can just turn it into the board and to the office and we've set the parameters, we've mm-hmm. given them the authority, we've empowered our staff to do their job for the community, then that's less time that they have to come here.
Mm-hmm. Well, if it's going to have alcohol, you could allow the mayor or mayor's designee to make a decision, but maybe if there are more than a certain number of licenses granted in a one-year period, mm-hmm. then it would have to come back to the board. So maybe you give the mayor leeway to do three in a year, or five, or two, or 50. Pick a number that you're comfortable with. another component that you're going to be concerned about, or have historically been concerned about, is the noise factor and the
right.
time.
Right.
So maybe you can let the mayor. Another way to do it is the mayor could approve something that didn't go past, say, 11 o'clock. Or midnight or whatever you want to pick. Or if they had something that didn't have live music or amplified music, mm-hmm. that might be another way you could kind of cobble it in. My thought is you could kind of throw out ideas of roughly what your consensus is. I'll put that into an ordinance and then we'll edit it to our heart's content at the next meeting and then you could possibly approve it at the next meeting, but those are the kinds of things I'd be looking for.
And that's kind of where I'm going to, because we won't have the problem we had last week. We've had to do this for one other bar, so we've had two bars not get their permits in on time in the past, and then that one neighborhood party that they have every year. We've already got an online form ready to go for permits, and once we get the parameters down, we can actually put that in the permit form. And we can actually have a checkbox. If they meet these criteria, then it doesn't have to go before the board, and we're good to go. So get your ideas to Mark so we can get
well,
this.
Well, if you want to kind of talk them through, give like 3 or 4 minutes now, that would probably
okay.
be really helpful. Because somebody's comment might flush out somebody else's idea. I don't want to prolong the meeting.
Yeah,
but
no, that's fine. So how about alcohol in the parking lot and a time frame? What time can it be approved? through the office without going to the board. I still want a board member to sign off on the permit if it's going to have alcohol involved with it and we're going to go past like 11 o'clock or so. I still want a board member to sign off on it. I don't want that Brandy's responsibility, because then she'll sign off. If she, Kate, it just gives her a blanket, so where if she doesn't sign off on something, then the board's mad at her because, well, you shouldn't have signed off on that because it's keeping me up tonight.
So say 10 o'clock because that's the noise ordinance anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
The Brandy can go up to 10, the mayor has to, or mayor or a designee has to go past 10, but
mm-hmm.
where's the cutoff before it has to go to the board?
I'd say midnight.
Midnight.
Yeah.
Midnight, okay.
Because it'd be very rare we're going to do something past midnight, so.
Yeah.
Exactly, okay. And then, okay.
I like the idea of after maybe 3 in a year.
Come back to the board?
Yeah.
Which we've... Lou and Denny's does at least... How many do they do?
I sound like 5.
At least
they got
5.
Their bash, the parking lot party, fun day. I want to say there's another one in the spring.
And then It'll Do's been doing some charities lately.
And Loose Cobra has quite a few.
Loose Cobra has a ton.
Can we
They're
go to
5?
Maybe
5 or 6.
I don't
know.
Is that per business? Or
yeah, that'd be
yeah.
per
Let's
business.
Per bit, yeah, that'd be.
Otherwise, it'd be first come, first serve.
Right. Well. We don't want the onslaught.
Yes,
coming in.
I'm
number
5.
You think 5 is a good number? 6 number? 6?
I think with the amount
like
of Cobra,
five.
I think 5 is good.
5? Okay.
I think
so.
We kind of already know what we approve anyway, so.
Right.
Having people come in front of us, we're probably likely to approve it, and if we establish what they are, I'd be comfortable even going to 6, but wouldn't do 5, that's fine.
I'd say in front of the board too, if it's like 500 or 600 people over.
Oh, that's a good point too.
Just because then you're starting to talk.
It's probably going to get police security. Or
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Private security.
Would 200 be?
Yeah, I just threw those numbers out. I don't.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's an event coming up. That's
I don't.
They're
know.
Thinking 50 to 100, but.
Yeah, 200 or 300 might not be a bad idea.
Yeah.
On the online form, I've got if there's road closures, is if you guys ever do anything, like if they have a block party. If they'd be closing the books.
Where's that form?
I don't know if it's live yet, is it?
Under contact Jeff.
Okay.
Nice.
Well, right now there's 3 for Loose Cobra in there,
right.
And then they had an event last week.
That's
right.
One of the 3.
That's one of the 3.
Oh, that's one of the 3. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know they had Quiborn Alley a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd bump it up to 6 events a year.
That's good.
That way, it kind of, and we'll see how that goes.
And did you say you did put in the wording of if 200 to 300 that an actual security force?
Just has
to come to the
board, and then the board
then
can
we discuss
that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
if it's over, over what 200 or 300?
250.
250. Split the difference.
Well, and you could change all these numbers the night you vote.
Okay, that's what I feel like.
We need to consider who gets them waived, who gets the fee waived, who doesn't.
Ooh,
because that's
one.
In the noise ordinance under the special permit section.
Well, the only ones we don't waive any fees anymore. We just have them donated to charity.
Fees may be waived by the village for governmental organizations, educational organizations, churches, and the Tolono Fund Day Committee.
Well, what if we, if the ones they accept, they get the fee, and then we determine
right.
at the next meeting
we can give
if
them back.
If we want to give them back,
right.
Or
so it's almost deposit until,
or give them to the charity or whatever.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
So you just swap the fee no matter what.
There you go. Perfect. Anything else? You think of? Give anything else then to Mark.
Nope. Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect. That's a good start.
Your
I think it's a really good start.
Yeah.
All right.
Can I do it?
Yeah.
So this is the approval of the intergovernmental agreement with the comptrollers for the debt recovery program.
Mm-hmm.
So we just need a motion to approve.
I think the clerk has a motion.
Mm-hmm. This is the one for the paper that.
The water account. The,
yeah.
Yeah.
The water
so any
accounts.
Debts that were owed. It'll this also be dog fees. any right?
Yes.
Any kind of debts they'll go after and we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, and if we got ordinance violation fines that weren't getting paid, this would be a great system.
So I need a motion
right,
to approve.
I'll
that.
Make a motion to approve and authorize the president to execute an intergovernmental agreement with the Illinois Office of the Comptroller for the local debt recovery program as presented.
That was a fantastic
yeah.
motion.
Yeah.
I'll second it.
Came up with it myself.
Buffo?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
Ping?
Oh, he's not in here.
Stuber?
Yes.
Trulock?
Yes.
I still want to urge people to contact the office if you think
yeah.
you might be on that list.
Exactly. And you've already had several people. She sent out letters to everybody that was had past her water bills that we've
awesome.
Gone through her accounts and found. And letters were sent out, and you've had several people come in and pay them.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
So, which is nice. Okay, the three permits for Loose Scope, right? Special event permits.
I don't think we can approve the one that already happened.
Yeah.
There's no
okay.
point.
Okay, well, it's in here. All right, any discussion on the three permits?
Motion to approve special event permits for the Loose Cobra as presented.
A second.
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody against? Okay. All right.
With her, I don't get all of them either.
There's one for it'll do.
Yes,
it
is.
Oh, it's the handwritten.
Oh, it's at the bottom.
I just skipped right on by it. There you go. And the special event permit for It'll Do.
Motion to accept It'll Do's special event permit for October 13th, 2018, as presented.
Second. All in favor?
A second.
Aye. A second. All in favor?
Aye.
I'd be against. Perfect. All right, nuisance and ticklers. On those four leading properties, did can't think of his name.
Justin
do anything with those yet?
I don't know.
Okay.
We've got a bill about something.
Did we get a bill from Justin?
Yeah.
He's pretty on top of it, but I honestly haven't talked to
okay.
him about it.
Alright.
I'll talk to him in the morning and send you an email.
We got another email about the fence on Whitehead and how there's still a little hole back there behind the fence, but it's been cleared off of our main sheet.
What's the little? Is it like a slat missing or is it a, it's like a walk through it?
I think it's under the fence. If it's the area I'm thinking of.
Okay, the fence on Whitehead has been deemed compliant. The hole in the back corner hasn't been touched and is still very accessible to young children. Not sure if the chief saw the panels up and didn't bother going looking at the corner. We feel she should have to fix it on her side and become compliant. We appreciate any thoughts.
Can I make a suggestion while
yes.
we're doing this?
Please.
When we have something like this comes in, can we get pictures? And then when we say it's compliant, we get pictures of that,
that
also?
That's good. That's good. We ask for pictures of the... We ask for pictures of when they go on the list, but we didn't ask for pictures when it was complete and deemed compliant. So that's a really good...
And that would also let us know if something changed from when he said it was compliant to...
Okay. Okay. Any other questions about those properties?
Can I add one other? There's a garage between Daggy and Broadway, and I kid you not, a stiff wind's going to blow this thing over. It needs to be taken care of. The roof's falling in. I think the only thing that's holding the thing up is the garage door from tipping over.
Jeez.
Okay. That's sent off to Rick. I didn't do that property though. Are you going to add that one to the list?
I'm gonna need an address.
Okay, perfect.
615 Austin. I talked to the bank today. It just got the eviction notice, so they've got about 60 days to. They said
they
about
posted 60, it already.
They actually served it today, so she said about 60 days from today.
Okay.
There should be some good change because they got to get a junk title of that vehicle anyway. So.
Yeah, we have a wonderful vehicle sitting in a driveway with no tires on it.
Mm-hmm. That was just a quick 5-minute chat. I saw she was sitting there. I drove past and whipped around.
Yeah, perfect.
But
well, maybe we'll get rid of
hopefully.
Some of that stuff soon. I don't think there's any electric in there. I think all the electric box has been pulled and wires have been pulled. All right. Anything else for the nuisance and tickler files? Anything for executive session?
Don't you have something?
Probably should.
Yeah.
Okay. So apparently have something for executive session. Anything to new business, old business to discuss real quick before we go? Nothing? Okay. The next meeting will be October 2nd. Need a motion to go to executive session.
Motion to enter executive session. Where's the little thing here?
What?
Do we have the statutory citation from last time? Can you put that in motion to look up?
The consideration.
Is this for
down.
Personnel? Real estate or personnel? Or what's it
personnel. Personnel.
Personnel. Okay.
Yes.
I'm like blood.
Are you one?
A little bit.
Mark, I've got the statutes right here.
Oh.
Make the motion.
Hold on, it's opening.
I cede my motion to you. Have at it.
This is sitting on my tablet.
That is kind of odd, isn't it? Just a lot of, it's just tired.
He's going to get to it first.
Well. Sorry, this is regarding employment?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Jared.
It's coming back to you, Jared.
So your motion is to enter an executive session for limited purposes of discussing the hiring, performance, compensation, and or employment of one or more village employees pursuant to 5 ILCS 124/2, paren C, paren 1.
Make a motion.
As presented by Mark, yes.
And a second.
Second.
Buffo?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
Ping?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
Truelock?
Yes.
You should have put a timeout on your motion.
Hey, IT guy?
For 20 minutes.